Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, April 28th, 2015. And with me today, I have my personal financial experts, Brian Chaffin. How are you?
Not a personal financial expert is how I am. I'm pretty expert on Apple, but not personal finances, my friend.
I'll take it as I can get it. And All right. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good. I'm the physicist on call.
I mix that up all the time. Apple expert, physicist, financial advisors.
Yeah, they both start with an F.
This explains so much in my life.
Did you just say that physicist starts with an S? That's fantastic.
That was pretty awesome.
Fantastic.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Fantastic, which starts with a PH.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Yes. Hey, we have a sponsor this week.
Excellent.
I know. And our sponsor is Casper, the mattress company. And I love their mattresses. I'm saying this from experience because I've been sleeping on one for several months now. They've designed these really great mattresses out of multiple layers of latex foam and memory foam so that you get just the right support when you're in bed. And also just the right springiness, which is great for sleeping or whatever else you may need to do in your bed. And what?
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. So another thing that's really great about these mattresses is that Casper can keep the cost really low. So for example, the mattress I have is the queen size. It's an $850 mattress from them. Anywhere else, it would be over $1,000. So they have all their own facilities so they can put everything together themselves. They've designed all this themselves. And they pay attention to all the little details, which I can actually attest to because one of the first things I did after pulling the mattress out of the box, by the way, that experience is really cool too because they have to be using Time Lord technology because the mattress is so much bigger than the box it comes in. Mm-hmm. But lay it out, and then I totally flew my nerd flag and got down and started looking at all the seams and the fabric edging to see if there are rough edges and check out all the stitching. This is the sort of thing you do when you spend a lot of time in the mountains and have to rely on your backpacks and tents to stay alive. You want to make sure everything's right. So I went over this mattress with a virtual fine tooth comb and could not find anything to fault, which is saying a lot because I'm very critical about stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no showrooms. They're building everything themselves and incredible attention to detail, wonderfully comfortable mattresses. I am sleeping better and I would love for you guys to be able to sleep better too. So it makes me very happy to know that if you go to their website, to the special URL that they have, so that will be casper.com/TDO, and then use the discount code TDO, you can get $50 off any mattress purchase. So in my case, I have the $850 queen size. You can get that for $800. Free shipping to your door. And it's absolutely wonderful. So go check out their mattresses. Get one for yourself so that you can sleep much better like I am doing and get yourself that $50 discount. So the website is casper.com/TDO and then use the discount code TDO. And Casper, thank you so much for being our sponsor this week.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm sure this comes as a big surprise to everyone, but we're going to talk some about Apple's second fiscal quarter earnings conference call from yesterday.
And what a quarter it was.
Yes, it was another record-breaking quarter for Apple. They kind of have a pattern with this.
At the very least, they have a track history.
Okay, yes, they have a really good track history. So, quick rundown of some of the numbers. They had $58 billion in earnings for the quarter. In revenue, with $13.6 billion in earnings.
Yeah, not even Apple is doing that much in profit yet.
Can you imagine?
But that was a record a record second quarter for revenues.
Yes. Yes, it was. 61.2 million iPhones.
A record. That's what amazed me.
Yeah, that's incredible. A lot of iPhones.
For a non-Christmas quarter, that's phenomenal. Talks to the popularity of the iPhone 6.
Yes. Yeah, so that's up 40% year over year. Revenue for iPhones was up 55% year over year. And
which, that's astounding, too, because we have a 40% increase in the number of unit sales. And in a market where, of course, the pricing pressure is downward for Android, Apple was selling more expensive devices. And part of that's going to be the iPhone 6 Plus being in the mix, a device that wasn't in the mix a year ago.
And Tim Cook talked about one of the reasons for that was the emerging middle class in emerging markets being able to afford the iPhone. Right.
Tim talked about the middle class a lot.
Yes, he did.
Talked about emerging markets a lot, too. Apple apparently did quite well.
Yeah. So the message that I got from that was that Tim doesn't see Apple products, or at least the iPhone, as strictly a luxury market item.
And not saturated in those emerging markets yet either.
Right. Yeah. So if we're seeing these types of numbers for iPhones, still in a market where some people have been saying, oh, well, smartphones, we've saturated this. We just can't do anymore. Not true. Apple is showing every quarter that they can still get more people buying iPhones than bought before. So that's really impressive.
And another good prospect is, I think Tim, if I remember correctly, Tim mentioned that it looked like there was a 20% rollover rate of people adopting the iPhone 6. Not 100% of all owners who had phones bought iPhone 6s. The number he gave was 20%.
Which means there's still plenty of headroom, as you put it.
Exactly. So when the next iPhone cycle comes around, we can expect continued upgrading. Yes.
Right, that's true. Yeah, a lot of people skip a model because of their contracts. So there's
a lot of people actually even go a little bit longer, and a lot of people get older devices. I would imagine there are people who bought iPhone 4s a year and 3 months ago, for instance, who would not buy the 2-year-old model the next time around, a 3-year-old model the next time around, simply because they're going to want to jump up to the iPhone 6 as soon as they can.
I bet you're right. Yeah, the feature difference between previous iPhone models and the 6 is pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I bet you're right. There's a lot of people that are just going to skip the models they would have purchased previously to get into the iPhone 6 line.
And I think that's some of what's happening here with this higher, with revenues being higher than the unit sale increase. It's just more people are buying at the top end, i.e. iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus rather than iPhone 5S or 5, than we've seen in previous cycles, just because the iPhone 6 is so attractive.
And that's pretty impressive. It's especially when you're looking at the smartphones that are coming out from Apple's competitors, many of which are not selling well at all.
You know, it goes back to that comment that Phil Schiller made that was leaked, it was about a year ago, when it was reported that Phil Schiller said that the competition's selling what we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as Apple came out with a larger display, just a little bit larger, seemed to solve the problem. You can't attribute it to Apple Pay, because Apple Pay is only available in the U.S. But that bigger display seems to have solved Apple's problems.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. I mean, and there are still more Android devices being sold by a lot. It's just they're increasingly at the low end. You know, the Android is having a difficult time competing at the high end.
Yeah, it sure looks that way. And Samsung is a perfect example of not being able to compete at the high end anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Mac numbers were pretty good too. So 4.6 million units. So that's a 10% year-over-year increase.
And but only a 2% revenue increase.
So so that means that margins aren't as good, or that that it's more, or buying is skewing more towards the low end.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that would be the cause of that.
Okay. Okay. So, but still, there's yeah, so it was, a lot of it was computers.
A record Mac quarter for the second quarter, 4.6 million units, and that is absolutely astounding. I'm working on a piece right now called "The Fall and Rise of the Mac." Just looking at the reality that while everyone has been paying attention to the iPhone, the Mac has just gained and gained and gained in popularity and importance to Apple. And this, for the first time since 2011, Apple had more Mac revenues than they did iPad revenues.
That's right. Yeah, iPad revenue was down, and iPad sales were down too.
Yeah, the iPad is I don't know, is languishing the right word? Yeah, languishing is the right word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not so stellar. If you look at the numbers over the long term, Apple's had some nice Christmas quarters with the iPad. I think it was Q1 14 was 26 million, but most of the numbers have been around the teens and gently declining. And
yeah, Apple has seen year-over-year declines for the last several quarters.
Yeah, yeah. So this is not good. Now, some people argue that, wow, 12 million iPads, that's a lot of money. And some people would be happy to sell 12 million tablets a year and generate $4.5 billion in revenue.
Quarter.
Was that? In a quarter. But, you know, Tim likes products to prosper and grow. And if a product isn't growing and thriving, that's a problem. But
well, Apple, Tim Cook in particular, put a lot of stock in the iPad. They talked about how it was, you know, it was the, what did they call it? The post-PC era.
Yeah, it was supposed to cross over and sell more than the PCs. Right.
And it has. I mean, Apple sold three times, well, not quite three times as many as iPads as it did Macs. But, you know, it's bringing in less money for each of those because Macs, of course, cost more. And so it's, you know, we've gone from iPads being the future of mankind to we understand they're being cannibalized on both ends, right? So he said that they were being cannibalized by the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, and to a certain extent they're being cannibalized by the Mac, and that they were okay with that because that kind of cannibalization takes care of itself. That's always that legitimately has always been Apple's line.
Sure. Yeah, because the money's still going to Apple.
Yeah.
I wrote about that yesterday. I thought Tim Cook's attitude was very interesting. Instead of being intelligently alarmed and fiscally responsibly aggressive in, you know, trying to fix the problem, Tim Cook's attitude was, well, yeah, like you said, Brian, yeah, we're being cannibalized. We've got great products. This cannibalization has never really worried us. We're cool with it. We'll see where things go. We put some pieces into place. We're working with IBM. We've invested in the pipeline, which I took to mean that there's new products coming.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, you know, he had a really relaxed attitude about it. You know, and part of that is is trying to take the steam out of the analyst's alarm, thinking that, oh my God, you know, the sky is falling. Then it's the CEO's responsibility to provide that perspective and dampen out any hysteria. But on the other hand, listening to the Tim Cook, I kind of got the feeling like he's going, you know, this is part of the market right now. We can't change it by force of will. There's nothing we can do. We've got some great competing products. The numbers look good. We're financially sound. I'm not so worried. And I don't think that's a bad approach right now.
Yeah, well, even went so far as to say it is what it is.
Yes.
To be fair for anyone who would be alarmed when Apple's turning in these enormous numbers, Apple has an overwhelming dependence right now on iPhone for its revenues. And from Wall Street's perspective, whenever a company becomes too dependent on one product line, it's only a matter of time before they stumble and fall. And so that's one reason why Tim Cook would want to mollify, as it were, analysts on this, because iPhone is, you know, continues to be a massive part of Apple's entire business line.
Yes, it does. Yeah, iPhone sales eclipse everything else they're doing.
Yeah, by a long shot. You know, another point that I wanted to for us to talk about is the comments about R&D spending, and Tim Cook saying that someone was asking, you know, basically why are you ramping up R&D spending, and I think it was Luca or Tim that said that we've got two iPhones. It was Luca that said we have two iPhones now. We've got more and more products that we're investing in, but certainly part of that was also to say, yeah, and we're making a car and that costs money.
Oh yeah, the car never came up, did it?
Only indirectly there where they said they have products that they're working on for the future.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right. That would be very indirect. But the fact that no one asked about it specifically, I hadn't really thought about it until right now. It's kind of interesting. No one asked about television. No one asked about the car.
Gene didn't even ask about television.
I know. I hope he's okay.
You know, I don't think.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
I'm so burned out on the Apple TV. You know, if Apple comes out with a fourth generation Apple TV that doesn't have 4K, I wouldn't be surprised and I wouldn't be disappointed. I mean, it's just, we keep hoping and thinking Apple's going to do something great. And, you know, I've got a second generation Apple TV. I'm eager to upgrade. What's going on here? Why has Tim Cook talked in the past about his dissatisfaction with the TV viewing experience? And why has Apple done so little in terms of hardware for us?
Because they're trying to work out the content deals that they need.
Content should ride along on any hardware as the hardware evolves, right?
Yeah, but
well,
the entire
should,
thing
but
about
this is Apple.
The entire thing about viewing experience is all about providing the content. So if Apple can't fix the viewing experience, if it can't bring the content to customers, and then the Apple TV will happen when it happens.
Right, and there's a lot of content providers that aren't really hip on the idea of deals with Apple right now.
Yeah, everyone's very resistant to the idea of Apple taking over the user experience because they all know that Apple's going to do it better than they do.
Brian, I don't
embracing that. They fear it and reject it.
I don't subscribe, Brian, to the idea that you have to have content deals before you can proceed with the hardware. Because there's things to do with the hardware like 4K and home automation that would be natural evolution.
Well, 4K without any content is kind of worthless.
Well, Netflix is broadcasting in 4K, and there are 4K movies available, and there are people who are eager to get in on 4K, and they don't have to wait for all of the HD content to be converted over. They only have to be able to access and enjoy some 4K TV to enjoy their new Apple TV product.
I think Apple can't do this piecemeal. Changing the experience, fixing this, cracking the code, all that is about a comprehensive platform and solution.
Is it because Apple is distracted, overworked?
No, it's because the content providers are terrified of Apple doing it better than they do, because they know they will. And like I said, they refuse to. Rather than embracing that, rather than accepting the fact that Apple should be in charge of their customer experience, they instead want to cling to the existing business models that leave them in charge. And you know, and we hate it. They don't care because it's what the devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
But if Apple came out with better hardware, that wouldn't threaten the content providers.
The hardware. Who cares about hardware, man?
Me.
Well, yeah, but you're weird.
The average TV viewer doesn't care. They want their content, and that's it. They don't care whose logo is on the box or what shape it has. And in many cases, they don't even care about the interface at all. They just want their content. And I hold up Comcast's own DVR system and channel selection system as a perfect example of people are willing to put up with really bad interfaces just to get their content.
Jeff, I disagree with you. That's like saying the only thing people want to do with a watch is look at the time.
But I think we have the proof in the pudding on this. People accept the crappy interfaces on their TV cable systems, and they always have. I mean, those who don't have went to TiVo.
There you go. And John, I'm going to disagree with your analogy. I think it's like saying people don't care how good the interface is on their watch as long as they can tell time.
Don't forget that more Windows systems are still sold than Macs too. People don't care. The people who do gravitate towards the things that are better, but the vast majority of folks don't care.
Yeah, but the point is that as soon as Apple comes out with something that is really thoughtful and really cool, it doesn't matter if the PC world jumps all over it or if 99% of the audience jumps on it. It only matters, like the Apple Watch, that it's very successful in its market and its segment and that there's an appreciation for it and Apple makes lots of money. That's all that's important.
Yeah, okay.
All right, well, we're like almost out of time.
Can I make one more point?
Absolutely.
So not only did Gene Munster not ask about the Apple TV, he asked about market share. It was like it was bizarro Gene Munster.
It's again, I hope Gene's okay.
He asked about iPhone market share and whether or not the Apple was going to say, who cares about Apple's market share? It's profit share, man. Profit share is where it's at.
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely.
And Apple has shown that time and again. Okay, so a couple other things from the earnings report before we wrap up. We got the announcement that the shareholder dividend is increasing again. And then we also didn't have any numbers about Apple Watch.
Yeah, both true. So the Apple increased its shareholder return program to $200 billion. That's $200 billion cumulative. In other words, Apple is in the process now of spending $200 million in the forms of dividends and in the form of buying shares back, which is really interesting that Apple would continue to buy shares back. In fact, Apple aggressively increased its share buyback when the stock is at an all-time high. So that is a huge indication that Apple actually believes that it will continue to do well, and that's something that Wall Street will notice. The 11% dividend increase to 52 cents a share just is, you know, it's just so much money. Apple is giving so much money back to shareholders, and it still isn't fast enough to keep them from accumulating enormous amounts of cash
on is what, $192 billion, which 170 billion is overseas.
Yeah, I think you said 194, but
so yeah, Apple can't spend money as fast as they make it.
No, and they've increased their acquisitions. I forget the acquisition number that Tim Cook mentioned. You know, obviously they're plunking more and more money down on R&D, including the unstated car. Yeah, it's a remarkable the things that Apple is doing right now is either going to be legendary in the future, or it is just going to reset the bar. I saw one set of figures that showed that Apple brought in not quite three times as much as ExxonMobil, the energy giant. You know, the kind of company that once upon a time was the poster child for making obscene amounts of money.
Right.
You know, it's what's happening with Apple right now is just it's just fascinating.
Fascinating and unprecedented. Yeah, it's just amazing. And yeah, and then no numbers for Apple Watch.
It's a little surprising. You'd think that Tim would have crowed.
He would brag about the first day, of course, right?
Mm-hmm. Heard some nice numbers. Just very vague. Saying things like numbers were better than they expected.
Well, maybe he didn't want to brag about the sales numbers because maybe he didn't want to upset all those people who are still waiting for one.
No. Come on. No. Really? No.
Yeah.
This is all about Wall Street. This is not about mollifying Apple customers.
Well, I mean, the criticism is that the Wall Street criticism is, well, you may have sold a lot on the first day, but you didn't ramp up and you didn't have enough in supply, and people are upset and people are still waiting for their watches, and your production was not able to meet demand, and so maybe he just didn't want to go there.
Maybe. But I think they very intentionally chose not to talk numbers.
Yeah, there was a strategic reason. You know, every conference call, Tim and or Luca have a list of things that they want Wall Street to know, a list of things that they will answer if Wall Street asks, and then probably a list of things that do not get mentioned under any circumstances whatsoever.
And they slyly insert into the conversation, right?
Well,
those agenda items.
The first two, yes.
Yeah.
The first agenda items always get mentioned up front or they get slid in at the first opportunity. Mm-hmm. The second list are things that will get mentioned if asked, but otherwise Apple's going to not bother. And the third things, of course, are the things that Apple's never going to say anyway. But in this particular case, it really seems like Apple Watch numbers were in that third list. That's not an accident. It's very deliberate. There's a reason for it. We don't know what that reason is. It would be fascinating to know what that reason is.
You're right. I agree with you, Brian.
Yes. All right. Hey, we are out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. Brian, John, thank you, both of you, for joining me today. It's always great to get your insights on Apple's earnings reports.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and thank you to Casper for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website, casper.com/TDO.
I want to go lay down on my Casper bed right now, and I'm not kidding.
I know you're not kidding. That's right. You bought one after I got one.
Yes, I want to go take a nap right now.
It's magically wonderful. Yes. So casper.com.
Back to work, Brian.
Yes. casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Get yourself $50 off your mattress and free shipping. And hey, we will see everyone again tomorrow. Ahem.